Wednesday, March 10th. Welcome to our comedy show. Keelan, please call the roll.
Good morning. Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference. And the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also, of course, provide written testimony to the council by emailing our council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact, as well as to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, and your continued understanding as we manage through this ever-challenging situation. And with that, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Thank you. First up is communications. Keelan, the first individual, please, item 141.
Request of Scott Weber to address council regarding Hazelnut Grove Tiny Cabin Community as a benefit to the Overlook neighborhood. And I don't believe Scott has joined the meeting yet.
Oh, okay. Well, if he shows up by the end of communications, we'll plug him in at the end. 142.
Request of Casey Boggs to address council regarding Hazelnut Grove Camp on North Greeley update.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Great. I truly hope you all can listen to what I have to say. I'm here on behalf of the Overlook Neighborhood Association Board, and I lead the Homeless Update Committee. While everyone is well aware of the city's homelessness issues and that we as a society are failing miserably to address how we address the homeless situation, the Overlook Neighborhood Association has requested multiple times that the unsafe, unsanctioned, and self-ungoverned Hazelnut Grove Camp be transitioned to St. John's Village, as promised by the city, to provide necessary shelter and services to its residents. In January 2021, the city definitively notified all residents Overlook Neighborhood through a mailer that Hazelnut Grove would officially be transitioned to St. John's Village alternative shelter managed by Do Good Multnomah. Then on February 23rd, we learned not from the city, but from a report on OPB radio that this transition is not taking place. Your decision is now an about face from what you notified the entire neighborhood less than a month earlier. And frankly, over the past 6 years of Hazelnut Grove's existence. Why and how did the city make this conclusion without consulting or contacting the Overlook Neighborhood Association and the residents that are adversely affected by this unsafe camp? And yes, the camp is still unsafe as proclaimed by the city's Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Fire and Rescue, and the Portland Bureau of Transportation. What's more, there have been two recent fires reported on COIN and KTU TV on the hills adjacent to Hazel and Grove caused by camps. It's time to do better, frankly. The city and the Joint Office of Homeless Services have demonstrated that there are viable models like St. John's Village for connecting homeless residents to services and providing shelter in ways that do not require camping illegally in public spaces where basic sanitation and assistance are unavailable. Please keep your word to safely help the homeless population with sanctioned shelter and services and keep our neighborhood safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Next individual, please, Keelan, 143.
Actually, that concludes the communications unless Scott has joined, but I don't think he has.
Oh, you're right. Scott, are you there? Going once, going twice? All right, thank you. Thank you, Casey, for your comments. We appreciate it. Consent agenda, have any items been pulled off the consent?
We've had no requests.
Please call the roll.
Rubio?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Hardesty? Maps?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The consent agenda is adopted. We're not yet at the time certain. We'll move to the regular agenda. Can we move to item 146, please?
Appoint Angela Jones to the Charter Commission.
Colleagues, the Charter Review Commission consists of 20 members appointed by the City Council who serve two-year terms. The City Charter is a written grant of authority by the people of Portland to the City of Portland. The periodic charter review process is an opportunity to engage Portlanders both on how local government functions and to offer amendments to reflect our community's evolving needs. There's a vacancy on the Charter Review Commission. Commissioner Rubio is bringing forth an appointment to fill that vacancy. Commissioner Rubio, please take it from here.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to introduce Angela Jones to the Charter Commission. She is filling a vacancy, as the mayor mentioned. She grew up in Corbett and then also currently lives in Portland, obviously, but also has lived abroad and is now back in East Portland. And she's also a small business owner, and she's excited about joining the commission to help the city to thrive in the future and for the good of all the people in Portland. And those are direct words from Angela. So we want to just thank Angela for her willingness to serve our city on this important commission. This is a really critical undertaking that has some very important items on this agenda, and will work to review and improve our city government for future generations of Portlanders. So we owe her a lot of appreciation. I'm not sure if Angela's here, but I'll turn it back over to you, Mayor.
I'm here.
Oh, Angela, well, please, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited about this. You know, we moved back to Portland in 2013 and were so happily surprised by the vibrant city it had become. But I think we all know that the pandemic and the very important fight for social justice has really taken the veneer right off. And it has exposed some serious systemic problems. And I'm so excited to be part of figuring out how we fix those things instead of just complaining about them. So I'm honored and I'm excited to dig in, and I thank you so much.
Angela, thank you. We're really pleased to have you step forward. Colleagues, I don't know if anybody has any specific questions for Angela or comments. And if not, we'll move right to the, oh, Commissioner Mapps, you have your hand raised.
Yeah. Actually, I'll pull it down. I'll save my comment for later.
Very good. Keelan, please call the roll.
Mayor, did we get a motion to accept the report?
No, it's not a report. This is a resolution. I should have asked if there's public testimony. I assume not.
No testimony.
Very good. Please call the roll on the resolution.
Rubio.
Just want to say again, thank you for your willingness to serve. I vote aye.
Ryan.
Hello, Angela. Welcome to this important role. Thank you again for service. And I'm also delighted to know that you're a small business owner. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Max.
I had my hand raised earlier just because I wanted to thank Ms. Jones for her service on this important committee. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Angela, you're a great appointment, and we're thrilled that you have an interest in stepping forward and serving. There's going to be a lot of interesting issues over the course of the next year, and you'll be right in the thick of it. And you're certainly up to it. You bring a broad perspective to the table. So I couldn't be happier than to vote aye and approve the appointment. Thank you for your service. Next item, 147, please.
Amend Portland Tourism Improvement District to add tourism and hospitality recovery surcharge and revise the periodic sunset review requirement.
Colleagues, this is a second reading. We have already heard public testimony on this item as well as a presentation. Is there any further business? Commissioner Mapps, I think you have your hand raised.
Yes. Before we vote on this, I wanted to do a couple of things. First, I want to thank everyone who testified on this issue last week. I think this is an innovative strategy to help a deeply wounded industry recover. Based on the communications and conversation that we had in council last week, one of the things I would like to do is to ask Travel Portland to come before council in about 6 months and testify on how funds for this project are being spent and the impact that they have had on the community. There are five specific questions that I hope that Travel Portland will address. First, you know, what outreach strategy has been used to reach diverse convention interest, and what have been the results of that outreach? Two, how have businesses of color been supported in bringing tourism back to the city? Three, who benefits from the 1% fees that we are about to adopt, or I hope that we're about to adopt? Is it mostly central city hotels, or are we also benefiting less centrally located hotels and other venues throughout the city? Fourth, a majority of staff that have been laid off over in the tourism industry and at Travel Portland, we'd like to see who's been hired, specifically a racial breakdown of who's been hired. And finally, I hope that Travel Portland can address what businesses are being supported and highlight how they've been supported through various marketing efforts. Those are some of the things that I'd like to see Travel Portland do in 6 months. I've talked to Travel Portland about this, and I believe they're happy to fulfill this request. I don't think I need to make it a formal amendment or motion or anything. I just wanted to put that out on the table. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I also just want to thank Commissioner Mapps because when we had this conversation last week, there was concern about whether small hotels would be detrimentally impacted by this additional tax. And one thing Commissioner Mapps and I did not discuss is as these federal dollars come down, how are they gonna have an impact on Travel Portland and its industry? So it would be really important for us to know whether they're able to get new either loans or grants that come in to support the industry. Because if so, we'll know that in 6 months if they've been able to acquire that. And if so, it may lead us to actually reduce the 1% increase because they've been able to get those resources elsewhere and take that burden off the back of very small hotels who honestly, I don't know what economic forecast they're looking at, but I don't see tourism coming back as fast as Travel Portland's optimistic presentation reflected. So I really appreciate Mingus Mapps Commissioner Mapps bringing those questions. And as I said to him, I didn't need an amendment either, but it's just important it's on the public record. And we have an agreement that we're gonna have this particular conversation about who benefited and who didn't with us increasing this tax by 1%. So thank you very much. It's always wonderful when we hear each other and we adjust based on what we hear. So appreciate the partnership, Commissioner Mapps.
Excellent. Any further discussion? Kaylin, please call the roll.
Rubio?
I want to thank the team at Trouble Portland, given that they will have a large task ahead of them in this very challenging environment. And I too just want to support and echo the comments of my colleagues. And I'm interested in hearing more about how this initiative impacts BIPOC hotel owners and owners on the East Side moving forward and over time, as well as learning more about the specific outreach strategies to immigrant businesses as well. So I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, first of all, Jeff Miller and your team at Travel Portland. That was an awesome presentation last week. And I think the dialogue we had last week, the conversations we're having at this moment, are all show some consensus around concerns. I know my questions were also targeted towards that 1% for the smaller hospitality motels, hotels outside of the Central Core. So I really appreciate Commissioner Mapps, you formalizing it a bit. I know we're not doing an amendment, but it's on the record and everyone's head is nodding, like we're all bobbleheads on this right now. So there's consensus and I think we're all rooting for you. I mean, it's something that's really important. It's hard to know what the optimism is, but we just are rooting for you. And it seems like you're being as creative as possible to sustain your industry and get some of your employees back to work. So I am delighted to support this amendment, and I look forward to being a partner with everyone on City Council as your industry comes back to life in the way that we appreciate it here in the city. And I do look forward to this conversation about 6 months from now so we can see the progress that's being made. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
I also want to thank Travel Portland for that very in-depth presentation. Clearly the travel industry has a huge impact on the city of Portland and our revenue base and our ability to do many of the things that we care about. But we also know this pandemic showed us that when the travel industry closes down, oh my gosh, it really, really, really closes down. It will be a slow, painful recovery. I have absolutely no doubt. All the economic indicators say that the travel industry will be the very last that comes back. And while I appreciate the optimism of Travel Portland, I think in 6 months, we'll have a better sense on whether or not that optimistic presentation is going to be realized. It will take a while for people to be comfortable on airplanes and hotel rooms and in conference meeting rooms. And we look forward to continuing the partnership with Travel Portland to make sure that when it's safe, that we are actually embracing visitors back into our city. I'm very happy to vote aye.
Mapps?
Aye.
Wheeler?
It's hard to believe that it was actually just a little over a year ago and the travel and tourism industry in Portland was on fire. Same with the convention business. We were trending in the right direction. Things were thriving. It was becoming a more significant component of our local economy. And of course, all of that hit the skids once COVID reared itself up. And so here we are planning for the recovery phase. I think all of us have question marks about how that's gonna come down, but I'm pleased that the industry through Travel Portland is being proactive and they're thinking about what it's going to take to actually put a firm foundation under the growth of the travel and tourism industry as it comes back at whatever pace it comes back. And it's a rare day when the city council votes on either a tax or a fee increase that's proposed by the industry that would actually pay that fee or tax. And so I also want to acknowledge and applaud their willingness to put skin in the game to support their own industry. And I, of course, wish them the best of luck in their recovery. It's important to all of us in this community that travel and tourism and hospitality does recover as quickly as safely possible. I want to commend Commissioner Mapps for the very specific questions and the benchmarks that you've put on the table, I think those make a tremendous amount of sense. And I can't see any reason why Travel Portland wouldn't look forward to the opportunity to come back and share where they are with us in 6 months or whatever time frame you and the council believe is appropriate. I think it's a great suggestion and I support that as well. I'm happy to vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. With that, Keelan, let's go back to the time certain item. We're now in the correct time frame, item 143.
Appoint members to Planning and Sustainability Commission for terms to expire May 31st, 2025.
Colleagues, today we're going to appoint and welcome four new members to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. This is a key commission in the city that addresses our future growth and land use plans and advises the City Council on land use planning, zoning, and other issues. As the Mayor and Commissioner of Finance and Administration, I request your confirmation to appoint four new members to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Valeria McWilliams will fill a currently open position effective immediately with three additional appointees, John L. Bell, Gabe Shoships, and Erica Thompson for positions that will be vacant as of June 1st, 2021. All of these are four-year terms running through May 31st, 2025. These four appointees will bring a wealth of expertise, diverse experience, and perspectives to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and I'm pleased to be offering them up for appointment today. Thank you for your consideration. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Rubio to share her thoughts on the work of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to share a few comments about the Planning and Sustainability Commission and our goals in working with the commission. As many of you know, the Planning and Sustainability Commission was formed by Mayor Adams to combine both the Planning Commission and the Sustainable Development Commission 12 years ago. And the PSC includes 11 volunteer members with expertise in a range of areas from land use and planning, architecture and design, conservation and natural resources, and community development. And we're excited to welcome these four new commissioners, one now and then three in June, as the mayor noted. But first, some background on the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Their major role is to advise us, City Council, on Portland's long-range goals and plans, land use and planning policies, and ensure sustainability practices are integrated into those plans. The PSC has a specific charge and statutory requirements through the state land use law to steward and maintain the city's comprehensive plan and the zoning code while ensuring that there is public input into that process. And it's an important advisory commission that helps shape the future of Portland. And as we look ahead, I hope the PSC will be a continued partner in our work as a city, particularly relating to the integration of land use policies and our climate goals. I'll now ask Director Durbin to give us some background about the four appointees.
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio and Mayor, and good morning, everyone. I'm Andrea Durbin, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With your approval, we are excited to welcome four new leaders to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. I'll share a little bit of background on each of them and then ask them to introduce themselves to you. First, Valeria McWilliams. She'll be our first appointee. Valeria emigrated from Peru to the United States when she was 15 years old. Her family's lived experience of navigating the United States as an English as a second language learner, the impact of unaffordable and unstable housing, and how the built environment was not inclusive for her family, including her sister who has a disability, led her to pursue a master's in city planning from MIT, where she worked on urban development client-based projects around the world. Her contribution and commitment to advancing racial equity for the Latinx community in Massachusetts ended up receiving recognition from Boston's mayor's office in 2013. Valeria was the City of Milwaukee's first housing and economic development coordinator before her current position as regional housing analyst at Metro, working on the implementation of the nation's first regional affordable housing bond. She currently sits on BPS's Community Involvement Committee and has served on the BPS Budget Advisory Committee for 2 years. We are excited to see her step into this role on the PSC. John L. Bell has served as the Director of Diversity and Transit Equity at TriMet. He has a strong history of creating more equitable outcomes for communities of color and notes Our built environment must reflect our values of inclusion and diversity, with public process being accessible and inclusive. Jonelle is co-founder of a nonprofit with a mission to increase educational attainment for Black community members, and he has previously served on the city's Auditors Committee on Benchmark Analysis and Mayor Potter's task force that created the Human Relations Committee. Gabe Shoships is a scientist, educator, and community leader, working as the executive director for the Friends of Tryon Creek, an organization focused on inspiring and nurturing relationships with the natural world. Gabe is a 500th generation Oregonian of the Cayuse and Walla Walla Nations from the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Reservation in Northeast Oregon. Born in Portland, Gabe spent time between Northeast Oregon and Willamette Valley, graduating from Cleveland High. He has spent the past 20 plus years focusing on protecting existing habitats of native fish and wildlife, restoring ecological functions to our environmental landscape, and implementing teachings that inspire future generations as to why these things are essential for our future. Gabe has a master's in fisheries science from Oregon State University and brings experience building coalitions grounded in racial equity framework. And lastly, we have Erica Thompson. Erica is an architect, and her perspective is shaped by a broad range of career and volunteer experiences that go beyond architecture, with common threads of these experiences being a commitment to environmental stewardship and a strong belief in building more equitable and just communities. Erica has a Master's of Architecture from the University of Oregon and is dedicated to fostering a collaborative process based on listening and engagement, which is exactly what the PSC aims to do. I'm really excited to welcome these four to the PSC, and I'll ask them, the appointees, to briefly introduce themselves, starting with Valeria.
Thank you, Andrea. Again, Valeria McWilliams, I use she, her pronouns, and I just wanna thank the mayor and all you commissioners for welcoming and recommending me for this position. I am honored and I'm extremely excited to apply my lived experiences, education, and work experience to all the work that the PSC is doing. And I've been lucky to work with PSC staff for the past 2 years in a couple of committees. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'll get to work starting March 23rd. So thank you.
Great. And Jonelle.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I am deeply honored to be nominated for this really important role, as you all have led and our city continues to push us to be more equitable as we create an environment and a community that all of our community can thrive. And so I would be looking forward to helping to support those efforts. And again, thank you for the nomination, and would be thrilled to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonelle. Gabe.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you all. I'm excited to get to work and to work with the new appointees. And really, I've got deep roots here in Portland and the surrounding areas, and deep connections to both communities and the landscape. And I'm looking to move forward as a voice and someone who has connections with indigenous communities, but also other BIPOC communities, as I've laid some strong roots throughout my life, primarily here in Portland, an area that I care a lot about. And I'm really passionate about protecting the intact natural resources that we have left and the important cultural sites that are nearby. So thank you again, and look forward to getting started.
Thank you, Gabe. And Erica.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me here today. Again, my name is Erica Thompson. I'm a resident of Portland, and I am very excited to volunteer on the city's Planning and Sustainability Commission. I became an architect because I believe in the power of the built environment to create positive change and contribute to healthier, more sustainable, and just communities. These are values that I advocate for on the individual projects I get to touch, but too often the decisions about the structure and form of our city rest with privileged few and fail to achieve the progress that we desperately need in issues ranging from climate to resiliency and access to housing, to just name a few. To make progress, we need to advance policies that meaningfully incorporate the perspectives of the broader community and set ambitious baselines for all projects citywide. I am really energized by this work and look forward to collaborating with Council, BPS, and my fellow commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you all. And I hope, Mayor and Council Commissioners, I hope that you see a generation of leaders here who will bring diverse work and lived experiences to the Planning Sustainability Commission. That really is the key commission that charts out the future of the city. So we're excited to present them today. And Mayor, I'll pass it back to you.
Very good, thanks. And at this point, I will entertain any comments or questions from the council, either to or about our nominees.
I'll just say, I think they're all fabulous. And I continue to be amazed at the incredible level of people who are willing to volunteer their time to make the city of Portland better. Great job, Director Durbin and Commissioner Rubio, fabulous job, great appointees. And I'm happy to make a motion to accept the report as presented.
Can I get a second, please?
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty to accept the report, a second from Commissioner Rubio. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Rubio.
I just want to, again, just echo all the wonderful comments. I'm so impressed by this group, by their qualifications and the perspectives that they're going to bring to the city of Portland. We couldn't have picked a better combination of skills and lived experience. And I'm really excited to see their work and their contribution moving forward. So also just want to appreciate Valeria, Janelle, Gabe, and Erica for their willingness to take on this important work to help us meet our city's goals. And I look forward to meeting you in person one day and working with each of you. Congratulations, and I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, good morning, Valeria, Janelle, Gabe, Erica. Thank you so much. It was great to get to know you better. I'm so happy all four of you are here. It's always I don't know, when we have these appointments and people show up and give a little bit more of their story, it's definitely one of the better moments of a meeting. Janelle, I just have to add one more thing to your bio. You were also a student rep on the Portland Public School Board. And so I wanted to get that in there. Yes, thank you for coming back on camera to acknowledge that. I just wanna make one comment that your talent sets are just so rich. And I'm now really getting close to a bureau that receives the good work, if you will, in the implementation phase. And I just really ask that you always think about your decisions in terms of implementation as well. There's so many different factors, state, federal, city, and it all comes together. And sometimes we receive things that are difficult to implement, and we need to, you know, keep making progress for all the people that we want to, from a justice standpoint, serve. So I know that you'll do that, but in this moment in time, I just thought I'd share that bit of information with all of you. I'm inspired by your service. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
I must say that over the last 2 years, as I've watched appointments come and go from city council chambers, I am so humbled to see the intentionality that we are using to ensure the real diversity of voices and lived experience, and whether that's racial, geographic, disabilities, the city has moved head and shoulders above where it was just a few short years ago. And the appointments today really reflects intentionality. We don't get boards that are diverse in the city of Portland unless someone is intentional about making it happen. And I've seen processes where at the end of the day, people say, well, no one applied that looked like you. And to me, that is never a good reason not to have a diverse board. And so it makes me proud today to support you four nominees. Because what I know is that Director Durbin and Commissioner Rubio didn't just pull you out of a hat. They had to actually go out and search and talk to people and use their relationships to find out all these stellar people that were out there with these lived experiences and this great background. I hope this becomes the norm at City Hall and not the exception. And I can say the last few times that I've had this opportunity, it has looked like the city of Portland. So thank you, Director Durbin. Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. Thank you all of our new appointees who are willing to serve and put your heart and soul into making Portland a city that is more equitable, more fair, and more just. I vote aye.
Maps?
I, like everyone else, I'd like to thank the nominees for their willingness to serve our city. I look forward to implementing the ideas that you develop. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Well, I want to echo my colleagues' thanks to everybody for stepping forward and being willing to serve on the Planning and Sustainability Commission. And I also just want to give you all a sense of how hard this decision was. Amanda Watson from my staff and I sat in on 7 of the finalist interviews. We interviewed all 7 thoroughly. And I can tell you that at the end of the day, there were 7 people qualified as exceptional candidates to do this work. And we all hope that if we have 4 slots and 7 finalists, that there's 4 really good ones and 3 not so good ones to make the job easy. Unfortunately, it could not have been more challenging. We truly had, I believe, 7 outstanding candidates. And so as Commissioner Hardesty indicated, we started to look at where were the specific gaps and what were the specific needs on our Planning and Sustainability Commission. And we looked at a whole array of important aspects that we felt would make the Planning and Sustainability Commission fully functional. These 4 individuals rose to the top in terms of their experience, their lived experience, their desires, and what they saw as being the future for the Planning and Sustainability Commission. I also want to acknowledge the work of Sam Diaz, who worked very closely with the Planning and Sustainability Bureau, and Director Durbin. Thank you all for your hard work on this. This is what I would recall a very successful recruitment of outstanding Portlanders to help us on City Council do the very difficult work that we need to do going forward. So for me, this is a very easy aye vote. And again, thank you for your service. We look forward to it. The report is accepted. The appointments are approved. We will move back to the regular agenda, please. Keelan, can we go to item 148, please? Procurement report.
Accept bid of Brown Contracting Inc. for the downtown I-405 pedestrian safety and operational improvements project for $2,088,823.
Sorry, muted. Off video. This is a procurement report for the Portland Bureau of Transportation Construction Project, the Downtown I-405 Pedestrian Safety and Operational Improvements Project. This is a federal aid transportation project under the ODOT Federal Aid Highway Program. The project will make improvements to pedestrian crossings and bike lanes to make crossing I-405 by foot or by bike on West Burnside and Northwest Cooch safer, easier, and more accessible. Chief Procurement Officer Kathleen Brennis Marua is here to present the report. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Kathleen Brennis Marua, Chief Procurement Officer, and I am here to recommend authorization to enter into a contract with Brown Contracting Incorporated for construction of the downtown I-405 pedestrian safety and operational improvements project. On May 6th of last year, Council authorized procurement services to solicit and award a contract with an engineer's estimated cost range of $1 million to $2 million. We issued an invitation to bid on December 4th of 2020 and received 7 responsive bids on January 7th. The responsive low bid is from Brown Contracting in the amount of $2,088,823. This project was funded by the Federal Highway Administration under an agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation, an agreement that was approved by council in 2017. The agreement allows the city to follow its own procurement rules for delivering these federally funded projects, except in the application of its social equity and contracting policies. All projects that fall under this agreement must comply with the Oregon Department of Transportation's disadvantaged business enterprise policy, which is administered by the Office of Civil Rights. The disadvantaged business enterprise policy is subject to findings of routine disparity studies and therefore establish hard target goals for utilization of disadvantaged contractors. And these hard target goals are generally lower than the city's aspirational goal. For this project, the Office of Civil Rights assigned a disadvantaged business enterprise goal of 16%, and Brown Contracting exceeded the goal with 32.18% participation. The state-based certifications other than disadvantaged business enterprises are not recognized in the federal policy. So for this particular contract, Brown Contracting is subcontracting with Affordable Electric for electrical work, and Affordable Electric is an African-American male-owned firm. Brown Contracting is in full compliance with all city contracting requirements, and I hereby recommend you authorize this contract.
Colin, Commissioner Hardesty, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just gonna say, I'm sure the mayor would say, go ahead, Commissioner Hardesty. Let me say, Kathleen, this is impressive. When there's a 16% goal, we hear at this council regularly, well, there's nothing we can do because it's a federal contract and it's federal transportation dollars, et cetera, et cetera. Can you tell me how we were so successful to actually double the participation in a contract where traditionally we say there's nothing we can do because the Fed set the standard, and here you are presenting us with a contract where you doubled the expectation that the federal government put on this contract? How did that happen? And how do we make sure it happens over and over and over again?
So Procurement Services and the Office of Transportation, Bureau of Transportation, are continuing to have conversations with the Office of Civil Rights in regards to the goals that are assigned on Portland projects, and really stressing the point that we expect that there be higher goals. We will continue to have those conversations. For this particular project, you know, another big piece that is considered is the scope of work and what the availability of DBE contractors there is in the different subcontracting opportunities. So we will continue to have those conversations and push for greater goals. And also working with the contractors as well in stressing the importance that they not only meet the goals, but exceed those.
Well, I just want you to know that I noticed when you double the goals that were set, even if they're aspirational, even if they're set by the feds. And I just want you to know also that I'm working with our congressional delegation because clearly we need that change at the federal level, and working with them to make sure that we are not being penalized because of a lack of focus at the federal level. So you do your part here, I'll do my part at the federal level, and we'll see where we get. Thank you.
I appreciate that support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Colleagues, any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we accept the report as presented.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty to accept the report, a second from Commissioner Mapps. Any further discussion? Keelan, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and OMF and PBOP for bringing this forward. This is a great example of what we want to see. I'm pleased to support. Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The report's accepted and it is approved. Thank you very much. And again, Kathleen, thank you for your presentation. Next up, we have, it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 second readings, starting with item number 149, please.
Amend the comprehensive plan map and the zoning map to implement the expanding opportunities for affordable housing package B.
Colleagues, this is the second reading. We've heard a presentation. There's been opportunity for public testimony. Any further discussion? Please call the roll. Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Mapps. Commissioner Rubio, looks like you got, Commissioner Mapps, why don't you go and then Commissioner Rubio.
I'll defer to Commissioner Rubio and Commissioner if I Rubio, have a question.
Commissioner Mapps.
Thank you, Commissioner. I would like to propose an amendment. I would like to move to add an emergency clause for the purpose of this, of bringing this into the public interest, and any delay would adversely affect opportunities to seek funding for a future affordable housing. Did I state that correctly?
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Rubio. We have a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioner Mapps, was your hand raised to the amendment?
I'm all set.
Okay, very good. Any further discussion on the amendment? Keelan, call the roll.
On the amendment.
Aye.
This is a vote on the amendment.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is passed to the main motion is amended. Any further discussion? Please call the roll, Keelan, on the main motion is amended.
Rubio.
Again, I just want to thank all our partners for making this, these projects move forward, and please to support it. Aye.
Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Rubio and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for your due diligence on reviewing these properties in question and giving us recommendations. It's exciting to see these projects move forward, and I'm glad we had the emergency amendment so it could move as quickly as possible. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you. Next, 150, second reading.
Assess benefited property for street and mast arm traffic signal improvements from Northwest 9th Avenue to north of Northwest 19th Avenue in the Northwest Front Avenue NATO Parkway Local Improvement District.
Colleagues, any further discussion on this second reading? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, 151, also a second reading.
Authorize the addition of 2 coordinator positions in the Office of Community and Civic Life and authorize a grant agreement with a nonprofit organization to provide liability insurance coverage for neighborhood associations and place-based community groups in Southwest Portland.
Commissioner Mapps, I see you have your hand raised.
I have a comment I want to make on this. I want to give my colleagues a heads up that I plan to vote no on this proposal. There's several reasons why, but today I want to focus on just one issue. If there's any lesson to be learned from the recent history of civic life, it's that audits matter. Now, today we're being asked to grow the Office of Civic Life, but in just a few days, City Council will also receive a new audit of the Office of Civic Life, which has been sponsored by the City Attorney's Office and conducted by the consulting firm Aceta. Now, before City Council votes to expand the Office of Civic Life, I think it would be prudent of us to see this audit. Here's why. I believe there are reasons to be concerned about the content of the audit. For example, since the last time we discussed this issue just a week ago, Oregon Public Radio has released a disturbing expose of civic life. The title of that article, in case you haven't seen it, is, quote, "A Culture of Fear, Staffers for Portland's Civic Life Office is, uh, uh, say, Staffers say Portland Civic Life Office is anything but civil. So here's my position. Out of due diligence, before we decide to grow this Office of Civic Life in a cut year, I think it would be prudent of us to wait to see the ACEDA audit, which I expect to be out in a matter of just like 5 days. If there was a compromise here that I would put out there is I would encourage us to just table this issue for a week until we have a chance to see what the next audit says. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and those are my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Let me just say that one has nothing to do with the other. What we're asking you to do today is to assist us in providing some basic level of support for community members and Southwest neighborhoods. The authorization that I am asking for today will allow us to hire two individuals in partnership with Southwest Neighbors that will be their liaisons for the work that was traditionally done by Sweeney. The audit that you are referring to is an audit of the entire civic life operation. There was a sense of urgency when I was assigned the Bureau of Civic and Community Life around the Sweeney situation, because there had been an audit, there had been a thorough investigation, and it was tabled. And that happened in November of last year. It does not serve the neighbors of Southwest Portland well for me to just not take action that on Sweeney as I wait to have an impact on the entire Bureau. I am not asking you today anything to do with the entire Bureau. This was a situation that I inherited, and I'm asking you to vote on my solution to the situation that I inherited. We will know nothing more about what my plans are to fundamentally transform civic life 5 days from now or 10 days from now. That audit is one piece. But the bigger piece is my conversation with current and former staff, my conversation with neighborhood associations. And by the way, I had over 450 people on a Zoom call last night, all from neighborhoods all across the city of Portland. Again, the ask today is for us to be able to provide services to neighbors who have not been able to have those services since last year when the funding was pulled from Sweeney. I think we would do that the Southwest community a disservice by continuing to put this issue down the road. I have reviewed it. I have made what I think is a sound decision, and I will respect my colleagues to decide to either vote for or against it, but I wanna be clear that there can be no more delay. So if people wanna vote no, that's fine with me, but I need to move this now because this is this one piece of a bigger issue that I will need to be resolving. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Any further comments before we call the roll? Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Rubio.
I want to thank Commissioner Hardesty and also give much appreciation to your staff member, Kristen Johnson, and Civic Life for their work to ensure that these services will continue for the Southwest neighborhoods. Many people have reached out to my office with concerns, like I'm sure to all of our offices, all of my colleagues as well. And I want you to know that we hear you. We hear the concerns about this change. And we have reviewed all the pertinent information, and I have communicated a lot with the commissioner in charge, and I support this ordinance to continue services as outlined. And it's about the services that's what's before us today. Separate from this, I also acknowledge the challenges within the Office of Community Civic Life on multiple levels and multiple experiences, and these experiences are real and deeply felt. But what I also know is that Civic Life has so many people invested in the work, and this is a true asset. And as the community of participants expands and grows and changes, and our community develops its own priorities over time, this work also requires relationship, respect, and trust. to hold these hard conversations that will move us forward and that truly build the civic health of this city. So I'm staying engaged. This is about services today, but you know, we're the work is continuing and we're all invested in this work. So moving forward, I'll stay very engaged and I'm committed to support Commissioner Hardesty as she navigates these issues that are in her charge with the community and with the Bureau. And I look forward to more conversation that moves us in a productive direction. So I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, first I wanna say I really appreciate the comments before we did the vote from both Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Mapps. That was healthy tension. You know, our 95 neighborhood associations are a symbol of Portland's strength. It's something that's really looked upon across the country as a great model, and many cities wish they had neighborhood associations that were so active in their government. And so it's a strength. And again, creative tension is the reality in this kind of work, and but not toxic tension. And so when there's a sense of community and resiliency in our neighborhoods, we're all going to win. And let's just say that during this pandemic with so many challenges, it's really been the block by block resiliency of our neighborhoods that has really held this city together. So I just really appreciate Commissioner Hardesty's commitment to what will be a soon to be work session on the bigger picture, the neighborhood and the coalition system. Clearly there's, like everything, much to improve upon, and this one is urgent. And I'm not the commissioner in charge that's overseeing that, but I support a change agent that's willing to lean in and really get to the truth and really improve something that is a jewel of the city. But today it's about the continuity of services for our Southwest neighbors. That's the most important item. When I've tried to follow this in my onboarding, that became my concern, is who's helping the multiple neighborhood associations in Southwest Portland. And so I do hope that we repurpose current staff or we get the two FTE in as soon as possible, because it's been a long time coming since that part of Portland has had adequate service, and they deserve that. So on this case, in the renewal of this investment for the Southwest neighborhood system at this moment, it's needed, and I vote aye.
Hardesty.
I want to say thank you. Thank you to the Southwest neighbors. Thank you to the Neighborhood Association folks and to the Office of Civic and Community Life. Change is never easy. And honestly, when you're making change in the midst of a pandemic and a whole bunch of other crises, it's even more challenging. But as I told the 450 plus Neighborhood Association members last night, what I have seen and what inspires me has been, as Commissioner Ryan just said, how neighbors have come together. And most of the time, they're not affiliated with a neighborhood association or a nonprofit organization. It's just a neighbor knocking on a neighbor's door saying, I'm making sandwiches for our houseless community members. Do you want to help? I'm delivering soup to this shelter. Do you want to help? We have seen that play out all over the city over and over and over again. And to me, that's what heartens my soul. Today, I am closing a loop on a community that has been left out there wondering, does the city hear us? Are they gonna actually make sure that we get a basic level of services? And as I did, once I made the decision to pull the grant from Sweeney, I went directly to their board to let their board know the decision I made and the reasons why it was the appropriate decision to make. I will be very intentional, like I've been with Sweeney, on looking at the rest of the Office of Civic and Community Life. Once I am on a path that I think is a good path, we will then have a work session. Because, you know, all of five brains are better than one. And I look forward to having each of you actually challenge and question and help make whatever I'm proposing better. But today we have a very narrow focus, and I am very happy to vote aye. because I will be keeping my commitment to neighborhoods in Southwest Portland. Thank you.
Maps.
I want to express my appreciation to my colleagues for this healthy discussion. I think Commissioner Ryan described it as a healthy tension. It looks like I'm probably in the minority on this one, and that's okay. I look forward to working with the commissioner in charge to help reinvent the Neighborhood Association for the 21st century. But on this particular issue, out of due diligence, I really feel like I need to take a look at this audit before I can vote yes, which is why today, right now, I am voting no.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, I want to thank my colleagues. This has been a much better discussion than I thought it might be. And Commissioner Mapps, thanks to you for setting up this conversation. I disagree with you, but I highly respect where you're coming from and your opinion on this matter. And thanks to you, we've had a much richer conversation, which I think has highlighted some core issues that we need to talk about more. Commissioner Hardesty, you are correct. When I assigned you the Office of Community and Civic Life, I also had instructed that I wanted you to resolve this issue. And you and your team have put in the requisite due diligence to come back to the council with a good faith solution. This is a stopgap measure, as you've described it. This is a smaller question about the continuity of services to the Southwest neighborhoods. And I think that's critically important that we continue to provide the services that would ordinarily be provided. Commissioner Mapps, you are also correct that we have a larger conversation that needs to take place here around the Bureau itself, as well as the neighborhood associations. Let's take note of the fact that all of us are in firm agreement that Portland is a city of neighborhoods, unique neighborhoods, and we want to preserve the uniqueness of our 95 neighborhoods. We also want to make sure that there is a baseline of equitable services that are provided to those neighborhoods so that they can in turn support the people who live in those smaller neighborhoods. And there has clearly been a problem in the way that the city has been interacting with both our neighborhood coalitions and our neighborhood organizations. All of us agree that it is time for a reset. All of us agree that there needs to be an improved and healthier path going forward so that the city can provide the support. And I think all of us agree that it's not necessarily going to be a top-down solution. We need to hear from the neighborhoods about what they need from us as the city council in order for their neighborhoods to thrive. And that's the conversation I'm really excited to have, and we'll have that conversation once the full findings of the audit are released to the public. But today, the question is, right now, who is delivering services in the absence of Sweeney? And the answer has to be, we need to close that gap. And so for that reason, I am voting aye, and the ordinance is adopted by the majority of the council. Thank you. Next item is 152, also a second reading, please.
Authorize the purchase of 2 acres of real property at 35227 Southeast Carpenter Lane in the amount of $875,000 to be used for the Bull Run Filtration Project.
Any further discussion on this second reading item? All right, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
You look disappointed, Mayor. We weren't going to discuss this one. Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Commissioner Hardesty, you're exactly right. I thought this, we were on to something here, and these meetings were getting very interesting. But alas, we're all in complete agreement on this matter. And I want to thank the Bureau for bringing it forward and doing some terrific work. And Commissioner Mapps, thank you for your excellent stewardship of this proposal as well. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. And believe it or not, nearly record time, we are adjourned. We'll see you at 2:00.